Like it or not, we are living in an era where the legalization of marijuana is spreading. And so often, the focus of the discussion around cannabis is how it is bought and how it is consumed. There isn't a lot of conversation about what happens behind the scenes, specifically the agricultural sector of this industry, how it's grown, how it's cultivated, and how it's regulated. Ryan Stoa, an associate professor of law at Boise's Concordia University, explored this issue in his new book, Craft Weed. Ryan is joining me live in studio to talk more about this. Welcome to the program, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a very touchy and controversial topic, especially here in Idaho, because we are one of the states that has absolutely no type of legalization of marijuana.
That's correct. Yeah, Idaho is one of only a few states in the country that's maintained a complete prohibition on cannabis. We have not decriminalized small amounts of possession. We have not legalized use of non-psychoactive cannabis oils. There is still a complete prohibition in the state of Idaho. That being said, we are surrounded by states that have legalized the recreational or medicinal use of marijuana. California, Oregon, Washington, and Nevada have legalized recreational use. Montana legalized medicinal use. And just last week, on Election Day, Utah legalized medical use as well, not to mention Canada, which legalized recreational use in October.
For the entire country.
For the entire country.
So what I think is interesting about your new book was what I said in the introduction, is we tend, when we talk about cannabis, is about how it's bought, who's buying it, who's using it, all of those things. But you delved into the idea of how it's grown, who should be growing it, is it regulated? Because right now, as you said before we came on the air, we're moving towards some of that, but we're not there, correct?
Yeah, that's right. You know, one of the interesting trends with marijuana legalization is that it's largely happening by voter initiative. So it's the people on Election Day saying, we want to legalize marijuana in some form. One of the implications of that is that legislators or politicians often are not the ones taking the lead on this. So they often are scrambling to catch up and put in place regulations to govern the industry. And they're often very happy to think about taxation issues. They're often very aware of public health implications and want to think about where it should be sold and by whom. But there's less attention paid to the agricultural side of the industry. And at the end of the day, cannabis is a plant and marijuana is an agricultural product. And it is farmed, whether politicians realize that yet or not. And so my book really wants people to think about marijuana as an agricultural product and encourage folks to think about what type of cannabis agriculture industry we want to see in the future.
So talk about more about that, because when we think about other agricultural products, they are regulated. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even look at potatoes in Idaho, right? There are certain regulations if you are going to sell that product to the public. And that goes to any, you know, big agricultural product in our country. So is that what you're kind of getting at? And this is not about whether it should be legal or not, but just about, are there regulations around it? Are we talking organic? Are we talking small farms, big farms? I mean, is that the conversation that maybe legislators, people need to be having?
Yeah, I think that's right. My book doesn't necessarily advocate for or against legalization, but legalization is happening all across the country. And if we're going to legalize cannabis, that means we need to think about the agricultural implications of legalization. And right now, there hasn't been a lot of thought or attention paid to that aspect. Nonetheless, people are moving forward. They're farming and cultivating it across the country and in our region. And I think legislators, politicians need to start thinking about setting up the kind of industry that we want to see. And my book advocates for a family farming model. So I would like to see states and eventually the federal government help foster sort of an artisanal, sustainable, locally grown ethic for mm-hmm. cannabis that would help revitalize a lot of rural communities And help prop up the family farm in the United States.
I'm speaking with Ryan Stoa. He is an associate professor at Boise's Concordia Law School and author of the new book, Craft Weed. In fact, your book really delves into Humboldt County in California. And this is a rural part of California, an agricultural region in that state. Talk to me about why you decided to focus on that county in particular.
Well, it's the agricultural heart of the American marijuana farming industry. Humboldt County, Trinity County, and Mendocino County, California, form the Emerald Triangle, so-called because they are dominated by marijuana farms, and they have been providing a substantial portion of the domestically grown marijuana supply for decades now. And so I was interested to see what people thought about legalization and how they plan to survive in an era when you might have large corporate-sponsored farms moving into the marijuana space. So far, the marijuana industry is dominated by small-scale farms, family farms. But is there room for them in the new era of legalization? I think there is room for them. I think that family farms, the sort of craft or artisanal model, can survive and coexist and even thrive in the new legal marijuana industry, much like craft beer thrives alongside macro brews.
Right. And that was one of the things we were talking about before we came on the air, was if you think about it like Budweiser and your local craft beer, they can coexist.
Yeah, I think there will likely be a sort of big marijuana model that thrives in the legal marketplace and provides cheap generic marijuana to the masses. And I think that's okay. I think there's some advantages to that. But I would hope that states and consumers and farmers still find a place for and regulate the industry in such a way that they allow family farmers to survive as well and for craft weed to coexist along with that generic model.
So has that kind of revitalized the Humboldt County area in California when you talk about revitalizing rural areas and these smaller family farms? Because we see that happening here in Idaho as well. These can be tough times for our rural communities.
Absolutely. Well, the black market marijuana farming industry is really what dominated Humboldt County's economic development for decades. So really, this is a matter of protecting economic development that's already taken place. And there are many very thoughtful individuals in, this traditional marijuana farming regions in the United States trying to think about how to protect their small-scale farmers and ensure that there isn't sort of an economic collapse in those farming regions as a result of legalization.
And because there isn't any type of, federal regulation at this point, is it fair to say that sometimes you may not know what you're getting? Because I know even with, food, with organic, I mean, there are regulations around that.
Yeah, one of the unfortunate downsides of the federal prohibition is that it prevents states from using the federal government's organic certification regulations on cannabis. There's a lot of folks out there that consume marijuana and would like for it to be organic. They want to make sure that it's not being used with, unhealthy pesticides. Unfortunately, states can't do that because the word organic is federally regulated. So you have some marijuana on the marketplace now. People are trying to say this is green grown or even trying to claim that it's organic without any entity really certifying that that's the case. And I think that is unfortunate, can be dangerous for consumers.
And on the flip side of that, like you said, there are stories of marijuana being sold in states that have legalized it, that have things like pesticides, things like that, because there is no regulation upon what this is a plant.
Yeah, there's some sort of shocking stories of that type of scenario playing out in the early days of legalization in Colorado. And the unfortunate thing for farmers that are growing sustainably and organically is that they are competing in a marketplace with other folks that are sort of trying to cheat the system by claiming that their products are organic when they really aren't. So how do we protect and prop up those farmers that are growing sustainably and are growing organically?
And as we, like it or not, whichever side of the fence someone falls on, mm-hmm. we are in an era where we continue to move towards more legalization of this. So because of that, you know, do government entities, are they almost behind the eight ball on this, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I mentioned, this is really, legalization is happening as a result of voter initiative. So often politicians, their stances do not reflect public opinion. And so they're trying to play catch up. Voters say, we want this legalized, and then the legislature has to scramble to set up regulations. But last week on Election Day, we had two more states, Utah and Missouri, legalize medical marijuana use, and Michigan legalized recreational marijuana use. There's now 33 states that have legalized at least medicinal use and 10 states that have legalized recreational use. According to my calculations, about two-thirds of the U.S. population now lives in a state where medical use is legal. So we're moving towards a framework where this is being legalized. I want to encourage folks to think about what we want the farming industry to look like.
I really appreciate your time on this really interesting topic and a discussion to have around this, because we, as you said, we don't talk about this part of the cannabis industry.
There are still states that have not acknowledged that marijuana is an agricultural product. So how do we expect them to set up agricultural regulations if they don't see it as an agricultural product in the first place?
My guest today, Ryan Stoa, he is the associate professor at Boise's Concordia Law School, also just wrote a book and author of the new book called Craft Weed. Thanks, Ryan, for your time today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.